Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the third week of Joy to the World. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, reading verses 26 through 38. These are familiar portions of Scripture that we'll be looking at this morning. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we trust that He will bring to us fresh insights that will help us for living, and the joy of the Lord will be our strength in the week that's ahead. Luke chapter 1, starting verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary." So we know the names of this story very well, don't we? "The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word be fulfilled.' And then the angel left." The joy we cannot see. A few weeks ago, I was flying into Savannah, Georgia for a series of ELC meetings. It was a beautiful day for flying, and out the window of the plane, I could see the winding river that was meandering through a densely fields forest just outside the city of Savannah. And from the air, I could plainly see the entire river snaking through the forest, and I could see what was beyond every single bend of the river, where I was watching a small boat that was traversing on the river, and they had absolutely no idea at all what was lying beyond every hairpin turn of that river. What was so clear to me from viewing it from above was quite different to the boat navigating below. Now, the Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9, the Bible says, "We know in part and we prophesy in part." Now, let me paraphrase it this way. There are many things that we're capable of knowing by observation, by experience, by intellect. However, there are a host of things that can only be known through divine revelation. Just a few verses down from that, in verse 12, it says, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror." And again, another translation reads, "Presently we see through a glass dimly, like a fogged mirror or a windshield covered with frost." I think we've all had the occasion during the wintertime getting into our automobiles, and we scrape off just enough of the snow and the ice and, you know, sometimes the frost. So we've got a little hole about like this, and we think we'll get going down the highway, and we're just believing that it's going to, as we drive along, it will clear off the rest of the windshield. But we see so dimly, we see so little. It's like coming out of the shower in the morning and the fog is all over the mirror. That's the way we see life. We do not see around the bends. We do not see what's ahead. And all we see is things in the moment. Now, Mary, in this particular case, she has an angelic visitation that comes from Gabriel. And it leaves her with, I believe, 1,000 unanswered questions. She does not know what fully lies ahead. I want you to think about it for a moment. Mary was simply going about her own business and going about her day when suddenly an angel of the Lord shows up with a message. A message, if accepted, would change the trajectory of her life forever and forever. Listen to what it says. Here's the angel. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, when you hear that word, highly favored, sometimes I think we probably get a wrong understanding what that's all about. It literally means that it is a recipient of much grace. And so the angel says, "You are a recipient of much grace." Now, if I were to tell you today that here's $100, you're going to need it, you'd walk out with $100 in your pocket and you'd say, I'm not sure exactly what he meant. What's going to happen? Is the car going to break down? Am I going to, you know, whatever. There'd be 1,000 questions. And so it was in the mind of Mary. Mary could not see what was down the road. And the choices that she is going to have to make are going to be made in the moment, trusting God on the basis of trusting God alone. And so the angel says, you're highly favored. You're going to receive much grace. And Mary's thinking in the back of her mind, what am I going to need grace for? What is it that's going to happen in my life that without this special endowment of grace, I won't be able to make it? What is it? Look what Mary says here in verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. Now, from what we can extrapolate from Scripture, Mary seems to be a very cautious young lady. She likes time and she likes to be able to ponder and think things through before making a decision. She likes to know what is around the bend of the river. She likes to know the things that are yet unseen. Now look at verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Even though she has questions, why am I to receive this additional grace? What's coming down the road? What's around the bend? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And the angel begins to explain further what's going to happen. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants," that's the Jewish people, "forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Now, maybe in the back of Mary's mind at this point, she is thinking, maybe angels in heaven don't understand how babies are made here on this earth. So you're talking about me having a child, and I'm not married, and I am a virgin, I am pure. Listen to what the angel answered. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God," not the son of Joseph, not merely Mary's son, but will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, which was likely her cousin, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive, she is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Look at verse 37 one more time, what's on the screen there. "For no word from God will ever fail." Now, the Greek here is very insightful. I think we've all heard the term rhema before. You know, there's a rhema Bible college, there's rhema ministries, and all of them using this Greek word, but just exactly what does it mean? The logos refers to God's written eternal word that we have in our Bibles. This is unchanging. This is infallible. You can absolutely count on it. And this is the word for all of us for all time. However, there's times when God gives what is called a rhema word. A rhema word is a personal word given to an individual. And many times along with it, there may be a commissioning. Other times there might be a blessing that comes along with it. But nonetheless, it's a rhema word. It's a personal word. And the Bible says there is no personal word from God. When we've heard from God, we've heard clearly from Him, and that personal word to us. Sometimes that word may be, stay in there. Don't give up. Don't give in. Joy is around the corner. There may be a promise that is given of a job or a promise, you know, even in this particular case, of a supernatural son or a son or daughter to a couple that may be struggling with trying to conceive. And so rhema is a personal word. From this moment on now, from this second forward, it's up to Mary. She can either refuse or she can embrace this plan of God. And Mary responded, and she responded immediately. Now think about this. She was going about her own business. She was not looking for anything special. It's an ordinary day. The angel shows up, and now he's laid out. Here is the proposal. God's going to create within your womb, if you choose to allow this to take place, His only begotten Son. And Mary responded immediately, which I believe is very difficult for a type C, conscientious, contemplating young lady. Matter of fact, I believe if we were to give Mary the DISC test, which is a personality profile test, she would be a high C. She is one that likes to think things through. She likes time. She don't like being pressed into immediate answers. But in this moment, the angel is standing there. And listen to how she responds in verse 38, which I believe, knowing a little bit of her personality, is pretty insightful. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left. Look at those words one more time. May your word to me be fulfilled. These seven words set the whole plan of God into immediate action. And the Bible says, at this point, the angel left. Have you ever said yes in a moment, you know, where you felt the presence of God? This was a supernatural moment. Remember, Gabriel had come on a mission from God to declare to her the opportunity to bear God's son. And this was a high spiritual moment. And in those moments, have you ever, like Mary, possibly said yes? And then later on wondered why in the world you ever agreed to such a thing. Maybe it was a contract. They call it buyer's remorse. You buy something and then all of a sudden you look at it and you say, why in the world did I spend what I spent for this? You know, I didn't need this no more than a hole in the head and all the things that go along with it. Remember, friends, we only see through the glass dimly. We see, the Bible says, only momentary glimpses. We do not see nor know what is around the bend of this river of life. And I believe that any exhilaration and joy while the angel was present was suddenly gone. Now that the angel has departed, and though now she has said, yes, be it unto me, let the plan of God be fulfilled in my life, I believe now that the angel is gone, there's a moment here where she begins to contemplate, just what have I done? What will I tell my parents? How can I explain this to Joseph? There is no way he's going to get this thing. Will Joseph call off the marriage? How will the people of Nazareth respond? Nazareth at this time was likely a community of no more than 100 to 200 people. And coming from a small little community like that, as you might guess, everyone knew everybody and they knew everybody's business. My wife comes from a town of 200. 200, matter of fact, I was going to go change the sign to 199 when I married her and took her away. Her little town, everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's business. When I go back and visit back in Peaver, South Dakota, and they have a little community center and they have coffee time. It's interesting. You go into the coffee time. The women are over here. The men are on this side. And they're sharing, having coffee together. And I walk in and I mean, it's like, you know, everybody knows you, you know most of them, and that's the way it was in this town of Nazareth. And so she's thinking in the back of her mind, what are the neighbors going to think? What are the friends going to think? What are the ones that I would go to synagogue with? How are they going to respond to this thing? And will the rabbi see me as an adulterous person and call for my death by stoning, which they could by law? So now it's a teenager with all this going through her mind. You know, the Bible says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Friends, just around the bend, there is waiting just at that place a rendezvous with great joy if she will stay with the path. Look at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Now, you need to know that this city is about 100 miles away. It's a long journey for a brand new mommy that is now probably sensing in herself, you know, new things beginning to happen, and probably morning sickness, and all of this, and she's got a journey of 100 miles. All of this is taking place. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, 100 miles away, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, that word greeted Elizabeth, I believe that when she came into the home of Elizabeth, which, by the way, was her cousin, and Elizabeth is older, Elizabeth is one that was having a difficult time conceiving, but God miraculously gave them, you know, the promise of a son, and it's John the Baptist. John the Baptist is now forming in the womb of Elizabeth in the sixth month. And so we entered into Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, probably was shalom, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a supernatural moment going on here. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you amongst women. Blessed is the child you will bear." Elizabeth knew none of this at this time. But now she is speaking prophetically. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, little John the Baptist, did a little jig inside of her belly. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her." And the Bible says at that moment that Mary began to sing a song. That song is recorded in verses 46 to 47 and even beyond, but we'll only take the two. It says, "And Mary sang this song, my soul is ecstatic." Notice what's happening now. There's becoming a time of joy. The journey had to be hard. It was arduous. She probably had to stop along the road and vomit because she's got this baby in her womb and she's got morning sickness. She's out, you know, climbing. It's a distance of 100 miles, but over that 100 miles, they're climbing some 1,400 and some feet, so it's all uphill, in a gentle uphill, but nonetheless uphill. And now, listen to what it says, "My soul is ecstatic, overflowing with praises to God. My spirit bursts with joy over my life-giving God." Friends, the Bible says that if we faint not, there's going to be a victory. And so it is here in the case of this young lady called Mary. Mary said, "Yes, Lord, I will be your servant. You can count on me." And then there's moments where there's second guessing. But down the road, once again, God saw to it that there was joy. And we'll see this joy even a greater way in just a few moments. I'll consider Joseph for a few moments with me. You know, Joseph's story is parallel, and yet it is very unique. Look at verse 18 of Matthew 1. It says, "Now this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name, not Joseph Jr., but what? Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet Isaiah, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, Joseph and Mary's marriage would have been arranged at this time by their parents. You know, in our culture, it is interesting, we look down on arranged marriages like many places in the world have. I've ministered on various occasions in India, where a lot of the marriages were arranged. And I've had conversations with them. I said, you know, what was it like marrying someone that, you know, you had really no knowledge of, you know, as far as, you know, what their life was like and all of that. And you were introduced and you were told that you two were chosen to be married to each other. What is that like? And they've said to me every time, you know, we've learned to love each other. They've learned to make a family together. What is also interesting, in cultures where there have been arranged marriages, the divorce rate is less than where we make the choices on our own. And so this would have been an arranged marriage by the parents. Now, both of them would have been asked the opinion about marrying each other. However, once agreed upon, it would have become legally, contractually binding from that moment on. There would have been dowries and all this kind of thing that would have happened. But once the marriage was arranged, the couple then had to wait for one full year. And you say, well, why wait for one full year? I'll tell you why. During this time, in order to see that the one young woman had had no sexual relations with any other man, they had to wait for one full year. And if she was not pregnant at the end of the year, the contract then would be fulfilled and they would become married. Now, Joseph, he must have had a lot of inner turmoil when he discovered then that Mary was pregnant. This would have been a personal insult to him, as well as a great public embarrassment to both sets of parents. Joseph's first thoughts were, I will divorce her. I will break this contract, which I can legally do, but I'll do so quietly without drawing any undue attention to Mary. He was going to respect her through this. But look at verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her then quietly. You know, friends, what I've discovered, and I want to put this out to each and every one of you this morning, very seldom, if ever, does God speak only to one in a marriage. If you are not hearing the same thing, I beg of you to have a time out. Because when God speaks, he does not leave one behind. He had sent the angel to Mary. Mary now has got full understanding. She experienced the whole thing with the angel, and she knows and then agreed to the plan of God. But Joseph at this time would have been totally in the dark. He would not have had any angelic visitation at this point. He would have had no knowledge of what had transpired. But when God speaks, he generally, and almost without question, speaks to both individuals within a marriage. And if you're not hearing the same thing, take a time out. Wait on God. I'm so grateful for the times my wife said, whoa, and held me back. And other times when she said, get moving, and we get moving. But there's always been a confirmation of it. And I'm grateful that we've been able to take and be in agreement over not everything. And some things we've agreed to disagree about. But nonetheless, there's the speaking of the Holy Spirit to both Mary here and to Joseph. God does not cause confusion. Listen to what happens now in verse 20. But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, some dreams are just too much pizza. But other dreams, they really mean something. I think we all know the difference. At times we've had dreams, all of us, I believe, where you just know there's something that God is trying to say. And here's what. God loves us enough that if we won't pay attention during the day, he'll speak to us in the silence of night. And so it was with Joseph. Joseph was probably so turned up, so churned up, that he needed this moment of a visitation. The Bible says it came in a dream. And he knew this dream was from God. And said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, friends, an invitation to be a part of what God is doing is really quite amazing. And in this account, we see not only Mary being invited into the plan of God, but Joseph as well. Had Joseph divorced Mary, he would have never been a part. He would have totally missed out on what God had in store. His nagging questions, those questions that must have been in the back of his mind, can I trust this account that Mary is sharing with me? Can I trust with the angel? After all, it was during a dream. Maybe it was just, you know, I had too much to eat before I went to bed, and all of these second thoughts, these nagging questions, all turned to pure joy when the shepherds arrived and when they bowed down and worshiped the baby Jesus. At that moment, he knew this was something supernatural, and he could see the joy in the minds and the eyes and the hearts of the shepherds, and it brought joy to his heart as well. He knew this was a supernatural God moment. Can you even imagine for a moment Joseph's amazement and overwhelming joy when the Magi came 800 miles from the east and they arrived seeking the one who had been born, the King of the Jews, bringing with them gold and frankincense and myrrh? You know, joy often boils down to one thing, and it's a question. Can I trust God to work out every problem I encounter if I submit myself to his will? Let me say that again. Joy often boils down to one thing. It did for Mary, it did for Joseph, it does for me, and it does for you. Can I trust God to work out every problem I encounter if I submit myself to his will? What area of joy are you longing for this morning that you have yet to experience? Possibly it's in your personal life, could be in your marriage, your family, vocationally, or some other realm. I encourage you this morning, submit yourself to the will of God. Don't give up. Don't give in. You see, as an obedient follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a promised rendezvous. It's a rendezvous with joy that's just around the bend of the river of life. It's a joy that we cannot yet see, that God reveals in time. You know, through the years, oft time, my wife has brought me like a jar and said, honey, you know, can you get the lid off for me? And so I'll take that thing, you know. Of course, I'm the man of the house. I grunt. If you grunt, that helps, you know. And you turn and you work on that thing. You know, and I tap it sometimes around the edge with a knife, you know, just enough to try to see if you can break the seal just a little bit. And I'll grunt some more and I'll hand it back. Honey, I'm sorry, I can't get it. And then she'll pick it up and she'll go, and I'll tell her, I had it loosened for you. See, I quit just before the victory. And the enemy loves to see people give up, to quit. The questions come as they did to Mary. Can you imagine that 100-mile journey as a young lady now pregnant? She is literally, if you want to put it in certain terms, she is running from Nazareth, running from all that is behind her there and all the family, friends, and everybody that knows her. She's running. She's going 100 miles away over to Elizabeth's home, a cousin. And all the way that's there, she's got to stop and vomit along the way. She's got pain and she's got all this stuff going on as a mom that's in her early pregnancy. But weighing even heavier than that is the emotional side to it all. What is Joseph going to do when I get back? What is Joseph going to say to friends? What are the rabbis going to say? What's going to happen in my life? Had she quit, she would not have seen the joy when she came into the house and greeted Elizabeth and little John the Baptist inside of the womb, knowing this is a supernatural moment and that the promises of God all the way back from the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis 3:15, the conqueror is now on earth. He's in the womb of Mary. And as she greets her cousin Elizabeth, the baby just dances for joy, recognizing this is the Messiah. And then we hear the song, and the song is a song of my heart is just exploding with joy. Just around the bend, God's got a rendezvous for you with joy. Tough time, difficult things happening in your life and your family. You've got Christmas upcoming and you know that something isn't quite right. And maybe there's been a death in the family. There's something that's, you know, been a time of, it's troubling and it's hard. God is saying to you today, you've got a rendezvous with joy. Don't give in, don't give up. He's going to see you through, as he did for Mary, as he did for Joseph, as he did for the Magi, which traveled 800 miles to come to see the Messiah. God's got a plan for your life. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, Lord, we're so grateful that you've got a plan for every single life. And Lord, that we can trust you in this plan because you're still giving rhema words. You're giving us direction, personal instruction. And when we're obedient to the voice of God, even though there's a lot of twists and turns and we can't see clearly around every bend of the river of life, but Lord, we can know that there's a rendezvous with victory and with joy. Because we are following the promises of God. Lord, I pray today for everyone in the house. Lord, for some, it's a time of great sorrow. For others, it may be a time of many questions. And Lord, today, the enemy is whispering, ah, God don't care, give up, give in, forget it all. But you're saying to us, stay the path. You've got a rendezvous coming with joy. Yes, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Lord, I pray for every friend in the house today. I ask, oh God, you'd bring them into a brand new realm of joy and fulfillment. I pray, oh God, that those that have never made a commitment to you, Lord, they're in the house today, and Lord, they're kind of drifting through life, hoping for the best. When all along you want to be their friend, you want to be their guide, I ask, oh God, today that those that sense that in their lives would open their heart and say, Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord, my Savior. I want you to come into my heart, my life today. I pray that you'll work a miracle in each one of these lives. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. If you're in the house this morning and you're saying, I need a rendezvous with Joy. You've been walking the path. You've got a lot of questions, but you're saying, God, I'm not going to back down. I'm going to stay true. But I do need to have a rendezvous with Joy. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. And if you're in the house today and you said, yes, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want you to come. And as they begin to sing, I want you to come this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer and believe God that he's going to guide your life, bring you through. And where the confusion may be at the moment, where the questions are at this time, God's going to reveal to you the plan and the joy with a rhema word today. And you're saying, I need to know God's plan, God's will, and I am going to be praying for you for that end. You come as they begin to sing this morning. Let us pray. Glad that you've got a plan for every single life. And your word declares it in the big picture. I know the plans I have for you. They're for hope and for a future. Lord, to the one that's lacking hope today, whatever the situation may be, I ask, oh God, that you give them hope. And to the one that is worried and concerned about their future, I pray, Lord, that this would be a time where they sense the peace of God, that you've got a plan and you've got a hope and that you have joy for them just around the bend. Yes, weeping may endure for the night, but joy has been promised in the morning. And I ask, oh God, that they would hold steady. Lord, I pray where there's been division between husband and wife, I ask, oh God, that there would be a unity. Lord, I am so grateful for the way you speak to both husband and wife. You speak to families. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish. And Lord, in the house today, there are some that are saying, I want to get right with God. I want to come into relationship with the God that created me, that created the heavens and the earth. That if he wants relationship with me, if he loves me that much, he would send his son to die. And that's the story of Christ's birth, born to die in our place. I ask, oh God, this moment would be life-changing. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Walk me through the confusion. Walk me through the sorrow. Walk me through the uncertainties. I can only see dimly. I can only see through what appears to be just a fog-covered mirror, a windshield that's covered in frost. It's so blurry. I'm having a hard time seeing it all, but I know you know the beginning from the end. You see all things. And I ask, oh God, that you would save me. Give me the vision of heaven. Help me to have that rendezvous with great joy. Turn all the questions and the moments of sorrow into great joy, as you did for Mary, as you did for Joseph, as you did for Elizabeth, Lord, I pray, oh God, your blessing upon each one of these friends. And I pray, oh God, this week to be a week of supernatural blessing from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for coming into this world. That's what we celebrate. Thank you for the difference you make in our lives. Thank you for the hope that we have because of your coming. I pray your blessing now to be upon each one of these friends. Lord, I pray you release upon them joy. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And we thank you, Lord, for all of these things. We ask it now in Jesus' mighty name. And every child of God said, amen. We love you. Have a marvelous day in the Lord. Don't miss out tonight.